excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
Hey, now, if we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving.
Welcome to this Washington State edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you, well, more or less on the way home. Just watched the game locally here in Roseville. I had a friend who actually has a TV package, and we watched the game at his place. Start with a quick recap. Bears started out pretty well with a nice drive. After stopping WSU, got a touchdown, and then went back and forth a little bit before Washington State got a field goal. But then Cal really asserted itself, starting it midway through the second quarter. Another touchdown for a 14-3 halftime lead. Another touchdown to start off the second half for a 21-3 lead. At that point, Washington State got their own touchdown to bring it back, and Cal kicked a field goal to bring it back to 14. A little bit of back and forth, but generally, Cal's lead always kept out in that kind of 14-point range and extended it to 21 before Washington State brought it back to 14. Final score, 31-17. A fairly workmanlike effort for the Bears, kind of like I had predicted. A lot of missed opportunities for WSU, actually. Probably a good place to start. The Bears really did a lot of good things, but they also, if WSU had been better executing, I think that there would have been more trouble. Now, to some degree, that's what you expect with a team like Washington State. The talent's just not there. The execution's just not there. And they're going to make mistakes by over-trying. So you kind of let WSU do that to itself. And to some degree, I think that's what Cal did. They tried to minimize the big play. They played pretty good fundamentals and let Washington State shoot themselves in the foot. You actually saw a little kind of the old defensive strategy of the Bob Gregory's bend but don't break, where they kind of let Washington State, you know, have a little bit of free rein in the middle of the field, but the defense really tightened up in the red zone, or at least as the field got shorter. And there were two instances where WSU had went for it from fourth down in the mid-30s, where it was just a little too long to kick a field goal, and they ended up turning over the ball. There was a number of instances like that where, they just felt like the right thing to do was to go for it, and Cal ended up getting the ball back. So really, I mean, to some degree, look at the stats. They did give up 432 yards to WSU. Not a great stat. 24 first downs. The rushing yards is really where WSU is no good at all. It's pretty amazingly bad. 38 total yards and 394 passing yards. And that's kind of what Mike Leach's Red Raider offense is all about. It's all about throwing the ball. But giving up 400 total yards, that's not good. You don't want to be doing that regularly. And it kind of shows how the Bears let WSU kind of run in the middle of the field, but when they got down the end, they clamped down. Offensively, it was a similar kind of strategy with enough variety mixed in that Washington State couldn't just lock in on it. But Cal's main strategy was to run the ball right at WSU. And the amount of rushing yards we had reflected that. 320 rushing yards, significant bulk of our 508 yards. But there was enough passing there, enough diversity, enough moving it around that WSU couldn't totally lock down on the run game. In fact, there was a couple points midway through the second half where it seemed like the Bears did kind of oversimplify on the running game for understandable reasons. It was working so well. And WSU did the same. And for a while there, the Cal offense kind of sputtered a little bit. So they got a little bit more diverse, a little bit more passing, and, you know, open things back up to go right back to the running game. So very interesting, or very simple strategy, that pretty much I predicted at the beginning. The Bears did it the simple, the easy way, with just enough diversity to keep this, improving Washington State team from, locking on one, thing. I'll tell you, a big thing that really disappointed me in the Bears were the penalties, because a lot of them were stupid. Actually only 8 penalties for 81 yards. So, I mean, not great, but not, we've had worse games. But there were a number of stupid penalties, unnecessary penalties. Throwing a quarterback to the ground late in the game. A pass interference where they had a bead on the ball and they were going to knock it down with their hand, but they kept the back hand on the shoulder and turned the player. Stupid things like that. There were a couple of pass interference calls that I thought were completely bogus, but there was also just, another, pass interference call, that was unnecessary. A roughing the passer that was, just stupid. A number of things that made me say, you know, that's just sloppy football, particularly when you're leading. You need to play a little bit cleaner, a little bit, disappointing to see. So, of all the things I saw today that I think disappointed me the most, it was the penalties. I didn't mind the defensive strategy, even though it gave up a lot of yards. It worked. It was effective. They only gave up 17 points. And so that was fine. But the penalties did bug me because it showed a lack of discipline. As for the rushing, really great to see that working, continuing to expand on last week. C.J. Anderson had 116 yards on 15 carries. Really, the one who was interesting to see rushing today was Zach Maynard. 10 rushes. A lot more keepers, in this game. And it'll be interesting to see if that's a one-game phenomenon or if we're going to see more of that in the future. It definitely kept WSU on their heels. They weren't expecting a lot of handoffs to Maynard, and they were definitely confused by it. So I thought that was a nice wrinkle to add. Bigelow got 8 carries, so they continue to include him more, even though he's not the primary back. He didn't have nearly as good of a game as he's had in the past. I will say this, though. The guy has speed. There were a couple of plays where I didn't think he was going to get around the corner, and his wheels got him there. So impressed with him and what he did. All 3 of the running backs, Maynard, Anderson, and Bigelow all had over 7 yards per carry. EC, who had the second most carries at 14, at 4.5 yards, but he also got a lot of the in the middle yards, interestingly enough, and I thought he did okay. Another thing that was a little bit disappointing was to see Maynard locking in on Keenan Allen so much. A total of 15 completions. Maynard was 14 for 23. That's 61%, 188 yards. It's, you know, the strategy we had, we didn't care for a lot of yards, but of those 14 throws, 11 of them, all but 3, were to Keenan Allen. And we got away with it against a WSU team that both wasn't that good, and Allen could take advantage of that. And they also didn't seem to overly lock in on Keenan Allen and double cover him and do things. They continued to play it straight up, even as he was being locked on. But that is not going to work against other teams. It's not going to, and so maybe that was a one-game strategy, and we won't see it in future weeks. But I would have liked to see the ball handed around more than it actually was. It was very disappointing to see Treggs not getting any attention. Chris Harper got 1 catch. Richard Rodgers only 1 catch. 2 catches total of tight ends because Wark caught the other one. But still, not the sort of passing around that I want to see. But again, in this game where we played WSU a very specific way, knowing what our situation is, and it really didn't surprise me in some ways, and they just went with what was easy, and with WSU letting us have it, great. And that one touchdown by Allen was very impressive. Very nice job of accelerating away after a couple of broken tackles. So, can't argue with that. But we'll have to see more diversity in the future, that's for sure. So, I don't know, not a ton to say about this game. Very standard WSU affair. I think in some ways the score was not reflective of how dominating the Cal performance was. But at the same time, Cal didn't play to dominate. They played to win in a workman fashion and pulled it off like they always do. So nice to see another win. That's 2 in a row. We're now 3-4. If we could pull off the miracle next week, back to 500, and that would be wonderful to see, give the team a lot of confidence with a game against Washington in 2 weeks. So let's move on to Stanford for just a minute, and then we'll wrap up the podcast. They had a very tough game today at Notre Dame, a game that they could have won, but also a game where they really did not have any offensive note. The Notre Dame defense stopped them. There was never an offensive touchdown by Stanford. Their one offensive touchdown was a fumble recovery in the end zone on what should have been a safety but turned into a fumble recovery for a touchdown. And then two field goals. So they never got much of anything going. I think if Cal's defense looks at both what Washington and Notre Dame did to Stanford, they can keep Stanford's point total down. The question will be whether the Cal offense can get something going against a pretty stout Stanford defense. The good thing about a game like this is the game against Notre Dame is it's a big, demoralizing, tough game for Stanford. That was a very, very physical game. Neither Notre Dame nor Stanford tried any trickery. They both tried to ram it down each other's throats, and they both were mostly unsuccessful at doing it in a very hard football game. If there's no doubt that if Cal is going to win next week, they are going to have to show up with their most physical performance, particularly on defense, of the entire season, because Stanford is going to try to be out physical, running over the Bears, and the Bears have to be ready to stand up and play that very, very physical game. But it could be that Stanford's going to be a little worn down. The Cal game will be the third out of four on the road. The trip to South Bend is never kind on the team. So it could be exactly what the Bears needed to improve their chances against Stanford. A tough physical game and a loss in overtime, demoralizing. They're going to feel cheated by the touchdown call they didn't get in their overtime. And I watched that play over and over, and I am apparently the one person who sees something that no one else does. The running back's elbow, not the ball, not the elbow of the hand he was holding the ball, but his other elbow hits the ground before he rotates the ball over the end zone line. I don't think that was a touchdown. I don't think he was robbed. I think his elbow was down before he crossed the plane of the goal. And then when you add into the fact that the play is called on the field as being a stop, it definitely becomes inconclusive at that point. That was not a horrible call, but Stanford's going to feel like it was. There's just nothing you can do to stop that. And I think that's good for the Bears. It keeps Stanford distracted. It keeps them looking backwards, not forward. A lot of good in that Notre Dame game for setting up a Stanford team to be where we want them to be, which is distracted, tired, and not able to deliver. But Cal cannot assume that that's what the case is going to be. They have to be ready to play a physical game on defense, be ready to stop that Stanford run game that can be so difficult to stop, and then put together a very strong offensive performance, a lot of diversity, a lot of forcing Stanford to make tough choices, getting rid of the ball quickly because Stanford is going to want to bring the pressure, finding ways to mitigate that pressure to keep them off balance. It's going to be a difficult game for the Bears to win. I looked at that Stanford team and I looked at Notre Dame team, and I think both of those teams beat Cal on average. But I do think Cal matches up well enough that we have a real shot at it, and this growing confidence of the last 2 weeks gives us that shot, as well as we've played them pretty well the last few years. And they don't have luck to really make it hard on our defense. Nunez is okay. He's developing, but he's not great yet. He may never be great, but he made a missed a number of throws. His receivers aren't bailing him out, and if we can really shut down the Stanford running game, there's a shot with some offense to make a game out of it. And there's no doubt that Shaw is playing very conservative. I think if he'd gotten more diverse, more trying to try different things out against Notre Dame, they could have won that game. But they decided just to keep ramming it in there. I think it was a bit of a mistake to ram it again at the line after they got stuffed on third and goal. Now it's fourth and goal. You can't do that again. They did, and they failed. So looking forward to the big game next week. It's tough to have it middle of the season, but I do think actually maybe it's to the Bears' advantage to have it a little early. Definitely an advantage to have it right after the Notre Dame game, and we'll see how it goes. So look forward to another On the Road Home podcast after the big game. I'll actually be driving home from that one as opposed to just sitting here at home after the very short drive from a friend's house. Look forward to talking to you then, and go Bears!